Well, Dima Simcha, welcome everybody. I think that having a yahrzeit on Chol HaMoed is very challenging, because on one hand, a yahrzeit at times reflect and might cause sometimes sadness, and on Chol HaMoed, actually, you have to be happy. It's a mitzvah of simcha. And as I prepare every year something to say from my father's Torah, thinking about my father, in truth I have to say that I can't say it causes any sadness. It increases my happiness as I find that my father is continually and always inspiring me. And when I was a teenager, I don't know how old I was once speaking to my father about a certain concept in Sefer Bereishis. It was about the fact, I don't know how, I came up with this idea that the Avos, came from Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Imos were similarly along the same line. And my father said to me, he said, I once gave a hashkafah share about it. So I asked him, what did you say? So he responded, you want to hear a whole hashkafah share right now? Responded positively, for sure. And he said, I don't have time now. And I guess, I forgot it. And I remembered about this years later after Zatira. And at that time, I wasn't sure when he gave Hashkafa Shir, whether it was in the 50s, or it was the 60s, or the 70s. And I was asking around people who might have known. Every year, my father talk about this. And nobody knew what I was talking about. A number of years ago, on YUTorah.org, someone discovered a whole slew of shurim, hashkafa shurim from the 60s, early 60s, Yeshiva University. So I listened to them, and I remember on one of the shurim, and said, Bereishis, this issue came up, and I finally heard that hashkafa shurim. Mm-hmm. And that idea that my father is always inspiring me and teaching me is something that didn't just happen at that shurim, but I feel that my father is inspiring and teaching me every day. And before I begin the shir itself, what I want to speak about, so one idea people always ask, I'm teaching the camp, I'm teaching the school. Sometimes questions come up, who was your Rebbe? What was the most important thing your father taught you? And I think that if I would pinpoint the most important idea I learned from my father, I was always hear him telling me to be a gibor. You have to do what you have to do. That's what's important. Nevet Hashem, and there are a lot of challenges in life. You have to do what you have to do. And that's something that over and over, last night in my sukkah, I had Snefet Pesach Shoeva from my Gehila. I invited a Rav who was recently retired, who knew my father, to come and speak. And that's exactly what he said. He spoke about the Midah of Guru of my father. And as I said, that when I'm able to prepare and think about my father, that is the one idea that keeps coming up, reminding me of what my obligation is in terms of being Eved Hashem. So what I started to do is I would like to say over a piece of Hashkafa, a little different than I usually speak about here in Beit HaDichah. Usually when I give a shir, there's a list of Mar Makomot. It's more a shir Halacha. Today I want to give a shir Hashkafa. The idea of Hashkafa that my father said about Sukkot. Now we know that there are Shalosh Regalim, there are three holidays. There's Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And even though there's a mitzvah simcha on all the holidays and all the Yom Tovim, however, simcha is what defines the essence of Chag HaSukkos. As a matter of fact, if a person, when we speak about Pesach in the Tfilos, we refer to Pesach as Zman Chayru Seinu. It's a time to understand what it means to be free. Shavuos, Zman Matan Torah Seinu. It's a time to understand what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. But Sukkot is referred to as Man Simcha Seinu. It's not just the mitzvah simcha, but the simcha defines the essence of Sukkot. What are you supposed to do on Pesach Yid Matzah? You understand what Cheres is. What are you supposed to do on Shavuot? Zman Matan Torah Seinu. You're supposed to learn Torah, I guess. And what do you do on Sukkot? There's a mitzvah sukkah. But Sukkot, we have to be happy and understand what happiness is. And the truth is that it's actually a very, very difficult mitzvah to Mekayim. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tav Pei Ches, when he describes what Simcha is, how one is Mekayim Simcha, this mark for a golem, and everyone knows the Iker way, the most important way to Mekayim the mitzvah is by eating Shalmei Simcha. And then there are other ways, achilas basar, shtiyas yayin, drinking wine, eating meat, lilbosh begadim chadashim, wearing new clothes, giving out fruits and candy to children. And that same achinach goes on, the skol play shir, to play instruments, the mikdash levan, the beis hamikdash, the beis hashuleva. And then the Sefer Chinuch at the very end points out that someone who is over on this violates his commandment and is not Nisameach himself, and the Neveso, member of his household, L'shem Mitzvah Haregel, Bitol Asezeh. It's not just that a person is not Mekayim the Mitzvah, is not Nisameach. A person can be Mesameach, but the Sefer HaChinuch says if he's not Mesameach L'shem HaRegel, he's Mebatal this mitzvah. So when it comes to shofar, when it comes to lulav, when it comes to many mitzvahs, okay, I know I'm lighting an Erech Hanukkah, I know I'm listening to a shofar. When it comes to simcha, it's not enough to understand that I'm happy. I have to be happy L'shem Mitzvah HaRegel. Understand, why is it? Why is it important that we have to be happy L'shem Mitzvah HaRegel? So that's one question. Why is the mitzvah of Simcha so different than any other mitzvah, where here you have to actually not just do the action, but you have to be mesameach, be happy for the shem mitzvah? That's one question. The second question is that as we go through how is one mekayim mitzvah of Simcha, so we know in general there's a mitzvah of Simcha, a basar v'yayin, or other ways. When it comes to Sukkot, where there's a Simcha Yaseira, it's not just Basar V'yayin. So there's a mitzvah of Lulav, the Arba Minim, the Beit HaMikdash for 7 days. And then there's also a mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. Nisach HaMayim, pouring the water in the Mizbeach, in addition to the Yayin. So is a mitzvah of Simcha. The Rambam, when he speaks of the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, mentions in two places. One place, I believe, in Hilchos Midim Musafim, because Nisach HaMayim also has the din of a korban. The second place the Rambam mentions, this is in Hilchos Sukkah, when he's speaking about the mitzvah of Simcha, he says part of the mitzvah of Simcha is the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. And the Rambam says at the very end, the Parashat Halach Yudbeth of Hilchos Sukkah, of Lulav, that even though on every Moed there's a mitzvah of Simoach, Sukkot, In the Sukkot, there's a mitzvah in the Mikdash to have Simcha Yisera. And he said, when do you start the Simcha Mos Yontav Rishon Shlokag? And every single day, from Chol HaMoed, from the time there are Makriv, the Korban Tomer Shel Ben Arbayim in the afternoon, there would be Mesameach the rest of the day with the night. And they would speak about what's in the Beis HaMikdash, and this was all the prelude to Nisach HaMayim. Nisach HaMayim was a mitzvah of Simcha. It's not just based on the pasuk of Ushachtim Mayim B'Sasom. It's also based on the pasuk of Usmachtim Bnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. My father wanted to understand why, where is the Simcha in water? Why is water misameach somebody? And in order to explain the importance and the significance of water, so he quoted the famous statement of Hillel. The Gemara Maseches Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel Aleph, speaks about, you know, what the songs, what people said in this business, and Simcha Beis Shoeva, and they would speak about Yesh Mem Omrim. It's very interesting. We'll come back to this. Daf Nun Gimel Aleph. There are those who say, Ashiel Daseinu Shlovayshus Daseinu. We're so proud of our youth. We're prouder than our youth. We didn't do anything that would embarrass our old age. We're so proud. And then There are those who say, who couldn't make that claim. They couldn't say, you know, that Baruch Hashem, you know, as a youth, I didn't do anything embarrassing. So they would say, Asher Zikna Seinu, Baruch Hashem, my old age, I got older. Shekipur Zelda Seinu, whatever I did as a child or as a teenager or even as in my 20s, I forgot already because Baruch Hashem, I understand how a person's supposed to act. So we'll come back to why this was Matim, why this was sung at the or said over at the Simcha Beis Shoeva. And then they would say, Ashrei Mishal Ochata, for the person who has not sinned, and someone who sinned, he shouldn't feel bad. Yashav Yimchal Amdu Tshuva, and he'll be forgiven. And then Hillel, Amro Lava Holos Tzaken, Kishoy Yisamech Beis Shoeva, he would say, Im ani kan, hakol kan. If I'm here, everyone is here. Im ani kan, but if I'm not here, mikan, who is here? And what was Hillel trying to say? And this is the essence of the simcha, of the simcha bet shoeva, when Hillel said, Im ani kan, hakol kan. The Sefer HaChinuch, so coming back to the Sefer HaChinuch, who pointed out that in order for a person to mekayim the mitzvah simcha, he has to mekayim the mitzvah simcha l'shem mitzvah tarekel. What was bothering the Sefer HaChinuch? My father felt that what was bothering the Sefer HaChinuch is he asked somebody, how are you mekayim the mitzvah simcha? The person will say, simcha. Ain't simcha avasar v'yayin? You have to drink wine, you have to eat meat. You ask any yeshiva bachur off the street, they'll tell you, simcha, you have to have butter. So, question is, and how has someone become involved in holiness, in levity, in laughter, in a type of enjoyment that does not bring any positive results? Butter v'yayin. You drink a lot, you eat a lot. So if that's the case, how does one ensure that he is going to reach a stage of simcha and not holiness? So what is the definition between holiness and simcha? Father said that, you know, he pointed out that in America, that if he was in America, I'm sure the same thing applies when I was in America, how the same thing applies today, you know, the entertainment industry at least was the biggest industry. And it probably still is, but now people are bringing entertainment into their house. People spend millions and billions of dollars to make themselves happy. And we find that people still are not happy. People are walking around, they're not happy. And the reason this is because when people go ahead and they try forms of entertainment, what they're doing is they're forgetting what's going on in their life. In other words, we all have challenges. Every human being has challenges. And therefore, when a person is involved, goes on medication or some other activity, see, he's involved in it because he wants to forget all his problems. He's running away from who he really is, from who he really is. And that's an escape. And when a person runs away from who he really is, and the simcha that he has does not enable him to be happy with who he is, that's holiness. That's holiness. That's levity. But simcha, real true simcha, is for a person to realize that he is happy with who he is. He understands what he has, what his challenges are, and because of that, he is happy. And that's why the Sefer HaChinuch says that it's not enough to be happy, to eat meat, to drink wine, on the regular. No, a person has to go ahead and a person has to be happy with l'shem haregel, because l'shem haregel, so he's bringing himself, he's realizing he's doing a mitzvah. He's realizing he's accomplishing something. It's not an escape. When he's mesameach l'shem haregel, he's realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to be happy, and it could be that the simcha is that he's lefnei Hashem, it's helping him be happy, and therefore that's a true simcha. The true simcha is a regel to be happy, not because you enjoy the experience, but the happiness helps you enjoy who you are and what you are in life. And this is really what Hillel said. Hillel said, Im ani kan hakol kan. If I am here, what do I mean? Of course he's there. But if I am here and I'm bringing myself to the simcha, and you know, I understand the challenges I have. I have challenges to parnasa, and maybe something going on between myself and my neighbors, I don't get along. Or, you know, maybe I've tried to accomplish certain accomplishments in my lifetime, and I haven't succeeded. I'm Nikon, but I come, I'm a Sameach, and I'm happy with who I am. Not that I can't try to accomplish more, but I realize I've accomplished, then I call Khan. But if I come, I leave my problems behind, and I forget about who I am, Mikan, then who is here? Who is here? And that's probably what they're saying at the Simcha Beis Shoeva, the Yesh Men Omrim, Ashil, the Seir, Shtubash, the Gnaseinu, that whatever's going on in my life, I'm happy because I can be proud of my life and proud of what I've accomplished so far. And even those people who maybe can't be proud of their teenage years or their younger years, but they say, I want to be proud of now, maybe my 30s, my 40s, my 50s, I've accomplished much more. And it says, and those who come to Simcha Beis Shoeva and they feel they have nothing to be proud about, it says, not to despair. Why? Because Yashav Yimchala, do tshuva. And do tshuva and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you. And that's the true simcha, is to understand who you are, what you can accomplish. And that could be the simcha of the Nisach HaMayim. My father pointed out, because what's water? You know, we speak about wine. Wine, especially in those days, was a luxurious item. Not everyone, you know, even though the truth is that probably in those days drink wine all the time, right? But still, wine was considered a luxurious item over and above, you know, as opposed to water. And when a person is chameach of water, what he's saying is, whatever I have, I can be happy with. Whatever I have, I can be happy with. It doesn't make a difference. So I don't have wine. I'll pour water, whatever I have, I can be happy with. Why? Because I know who I am. I might not have enough money. I might not have the job that I want to have. I might not have the house that I want to have. I'm in a sukkah right now. However, whatever I have can make me happy. And that's the simcha of Chag HaSukkos. There is a chazal, a famous chazal, that on Sukkot we take the Arba Minim. And we take the Esrog, the Lulav, the Dasim, and the Rabbis. Chazal points out, what's the difference between all these four Minim? So Esrog, Geish Votam, Yesh Berayach. So the Esrog has a taste, and a smell. And so therefore there are Bnei Adam that have Torah and Ma'asim Tovim. The Lulav, so has a taste but has no smell, the Tzmarim. So he says, so therefore there are Jews. So Kachem Yisrael, Yesh Tem Sheyesh, Sheyesh Behem, Sheyesh from Torah, the Ein Behem Ma'asim Tovim. They have no Ma'asim Tovim, they have no actions. Then Anachay Tzavos, the Adasim, that have a smell and not a taste. They have Ma'asim Tovim, and then there are the Arabos. So no time, no smell, no taste, no smell. So there are also Jews that don't have Torah, don't have Ma'asim Tovim. So Kadosh Baruch, what does the Kadosh Baruch do? Kadosh Baruch wants to destroy them. So Kadosh Baruch says, let them all come together in one group and all in a chaper. But you know, we bring all these Arvim together as an expression of Simcha. So in other words, whatever a person is, okay, a person who can be proud of his Torah, a person who can be proud of his Ma'asim Tovim, proud of both, proud of neither. But everyone has to realize that even I don't have Torah, but I can have Torah, I can have Ma'asim Tovim. And a person has to be happy, what he has in life. And I think that the message that my father was trying to give was, you know, especially today, everyone is trying to do something different in their life. You know, I'm involved in the morning with boys who are, we call, somewhat close to high risk. Started the school with two people a number of years ago. And, you know, already in our third cycle of boys coming in. So, in the end of the first year, a certain boy, Baruch Hashem right now, is studying at the Machon Lev. He's in the Gemara Shir. He's studying computers, turned it around. Kenny wanted to know, is he allowed to wear an earring? So I'm allowed to wear an earring. And, you know, so he said, listen, you know, it's Begadisha to wear an earring. He'll say to me, I said, Begadisha knows plenty of men wear earrings today. So I stand there discussing with him. And the end, and, you know, just to tell these boys, it's us, there's nothing to talk about. That approach is not going to work because they think that, you know, there's no logic to Torah. So then we have this discussion. And I said to him, and then we both agreed he should have put it on. So I asked him the question, why? Why do you want to wear an earring? He says, excuse me, I want to be different. I said, you want to be different? I understand, you have friends in the street, you want to be different from them? Why don't you go to Minyan and Davin? Why don't you learn a little bit? You know, maybe dress a little different, you can be different. But, you know, this idea that people want to be different, they want a different experience, they don't want to do the same old thing. We're looking for something complicated, something which, you know, which is different than anyone else does. And so just comes along and says, you know what, forget about it. You want to have happiness, you should be involved, everyone else is involved in. That's the daily routine, whatever it is. It's the water, it's the sukkah. You don't have to have something which is so fantastic. But true simcha comes from being involved, in a daily routine. In the beginning of Kohelet, I spoke about the Shabbos in my shul. So everyone wants to go Hellas. Hellas seems to be a safer, which actually I think a lot of people get turned off when they go Hellas. But basically, what does Hellas say? Hellas says everything in this world is terrible, except for tournaments. Everything. There's no value to anything. I mean, just had, men couldn't eat in the sukkah, so there was soda water, there was coffee, there was water. It's all worthless. The only point is that has helped us learn. So on one hand, we understand the chashivut of Torah and mitzvot. On the other hand, when everyone goes to work, we actually go on nice vacations. We, many of us will be going on to Yulim this week. So what's the message we receive from Kohelis? I think it's important to learn Kohelis v'yir. But just the end of the first parak. Dor alech v'dor baras olam hazeh. One generation goes, one generation comes. The sun rises, the sun sets. It goes to the same place. Goes to the south, to the north. Goes back again. All the rivers go to the sea, and the sea is never full. Everything tires the person. The person will never be satiated of anything. What was, will be, and what's done will be done again. It's not ein chadash kol tachas haShemesh. He says, you think something is new, it's always there. What is this all about? I think maybe what Kohelis is telling us this idea that people are trying to find happiness, do something different. And Kohelis is telling us, you know what? That you're going to find out whatever you do, you're going to find out that you're always going back to the same place, you're always going to be doing the same thing. And that's what makes people happy. Because when you do the same thing, then all of a sudden you feel like you're accomplishing. I remember when, before I made Aliyah, so my wife and I went to speak to a financial advisor. No, making Aliyah. And actually, not to have me used to be nervous, but I have no money. So I went to speak to a financial advisor, and he looks at my paper, says to me, this is amazing. What's amazing? He says, you have no debt. I worked in a place where they actually supplied, I was a community where they supplied housing to the teachers. Okay, it was great. So, everyone says that, the American dream is, you have a mortgage, and you have a van, you take your kids to carpool, and one day, a few years ago, I was still driving a van, and I was taking my kids to carpool, I was saying, I'm living the American dream in Israel. I have a van, driving the kids to carpool, I'm hopelessly in debt, right? But then I realized, that's what life is all about. Life's all about doing the same old thing. Because that's what brings simcha to people, because you do the same old thing, and then you accomplish, you get married, you have children, and you raise a family, you build a community, and that's what brings true happiness. And that's what the message my father gave me about Chag HaSukkos was. Chag HaSukkos was, don't go ahead and look at what everyone does for, go look for something different. Don't go to look, you want something more luxurious, you don't want the same old thing that everyone else has. What Chag HaSukkos is all about, the Chag HaSukkos is to realize whatever you have, you can be happy with. Just appreciate what you have and realize with what you have, there's so much that you can accomplish. I will just finish off with two anecdotes about my father, which I'm sure many of you know. But as I get older, I actually am able to read more into these stories. There's one that my father, after he had his stroke, and every step would cause him a lot of pain, and therefore in order to deal with the pain, he had to distract himself. As he was walking, see, either he would sing Odeh L'Kel, that was, I guess, the Salve Shikimikim, or he would go like the Kohen Gadol when he sprinkled the dam on the Mizbeach, and on the Parochas, Kodesh HaKadoshim, he said he would go Achas, Achas V'Achas, Achas V'Shtayim, Achas V'Sholosh. Everyone said that, so that was my father looked at what he was doing in the Avodas Hashem. And Avodin Kohen Gadol Mavei Samikdosh. I think it goes much deeper than that. It's whatever anybody does every day, the same old thing that you do, that's Avodas Hashem, because that's what makes you happy, that's what brings you Simcha, that's what brings you Simcha, who you are and what you are, and Simcha brings you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then, another idea, just to finish off with, that I thought about actually today, that after my father had a stroke, is as soon as he came out of intensive care, he asked us to bring him a Masechet Bava Kama. And he started learning Daf Yomi. And when he asked him why he's learning Daf Yomi, so he said, I have to retire now, I can't work so hard. I used to be the best Rosh Hashiva, now I'll be the best Baal Bas. But I think there was more to it than that. I think there was, my father gave shiurim, so he gave a lot of shiurim. And he said, even in the younger years, He would give a shir before davening for Balabat. He would give a shir halacha. He'd give a shir in Gemara. He'd give a shir in Yoredeya. And if the shir, you know, if he missed one shir because if he goes to New York, he'd give two shir in the same day. I mean, everything had a schedule. He felt, you know, he didn't feel like he has to do something different every single day. I think that while he was recovering, that Dr. Yomi was very important for him in order to have a schedule to do the same thing. Right? So sometimes people look and say, the lives are boring, but having a boring life where you do the same thing all the time, and that what you're doing, your activities cause you to accomplish, that's the greatest simcha. That's the message of Nisach HaMayim. That's the message of the Arvamina and finding out who you are, no matter what you have, and being happy with that. Sometimes it's a shreishon, but being happy who you are, and Nisach HaMayim, whatever you have, and the sukkah, whatever you have, being happy with, that brings a true simcha. When people are looking to say, oh, if I had this and had that, I'd be happy, they wouldn't be happy. Because you're only happy when you're happy with what you have. That's the true simcha of Chag HaSukkos.
Said that it was advertised that I'll give a share commemorating the yard site of Father Zatzal. Wasn't clear as to whether it would be a Hashkata share or a share in Halacha. So I'll try to mix the two. The Gemara in Megillah mentions that on Shmini Atzeres or in Simchas Torah, we lay in Bezos HaBracha. And the minhag, even though the Gemara, according to our Girsa, implies differently, but the minhag is, the custom is, that in Megillat HaTorah, we read the first parak of Yehoshua. And I saw that the Mefarshim, they discuss as to what is the relevancy to Shmini Atzeres. What does Vezos HaBracha have to do with Shmini Atzeres? And what does the first parak in Yehoshua have to do with Shmini Atzeres? Now, there is a Medrash, a very difficult Medrash. The Medrash says that just like there are 50 days between Pesach and Shavuos, there really should have been 50 days between Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanas on Klal Yisrael and didn't want Klal Yisrael to have to track back in the rainy season in the mud to Yerushalayim. Consequently, in the Torah, attached Shmini Atzeres to Sukkot. Now, Shmini Atzeres and Shavuos are unique among the holidays, among the regalim, because Pesach and Sukkot, they all have simanim, they have symbols. Pesach has the matzah, the maror. Sukkot has the sukkah, the lulav, and the esrog. But Shmini Atzeres and Shavuos has none of this. Just the Nisim Halacha. And the question is why? Now, in order to understand that, we have to understand why it was significant that there should be 50 days between Pesach and Shavuos, and why there should have been 50 days between Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. But what is the symbol of 50? 50 is identified with Yovel. Torah tells us Bavada Lola, that somebody sells himself, says Ahafi, as Adoni, as Ishti, as Guanai. So but he's an Eved Fever. Doesn't mean that he's an Eved Fever. He goes out with Jehovah. What's the significance? In other words, 50 symbolizes the idea of another era. I think the idea, let's say, in regard to Pesach. Pesach is a celebration of the past. When we celebrate the past, we have to take simanim, signs, to remind us about the past. Shavuos is not a celebration of the past. Shavuos is a celebration of the present. Matan Torah is the beginning of the era of Torah. The present began with the era of Torah. I think a similar idea could be suggested in regard to Sukkos. What is Sukkos? L'man yedu doraseichem ki basukos hashachias b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. But it's not just the sukkah, as the Rambam in Mor Nebuchadnezzar makes it clear. It's a celebration of commemorating or recognizing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustained the Jewish people in the Midbar. Now, if the 7 days of Sukkot commemorate the Jewish people traversing the Midbar, it seems to me that Shemini Atzeres commemorates the Jewish people entering Eretz Yisrael. And it's very interesting, it's the holiday of Eretz Yisrael. And today, we live in the era of Eretz Yisrael. We might be in Golis, and I am certainly in Chutz Laaretz as a result of that. But that's a deviation from the way things should have been. Jews, all Jews, should have been in Eretz Yisrael. This should not have been a Golis. There was a deviation. So, Shmini Atzeres is the holiday of Eretz Yisrael. And this is the era of Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's interesting that the Rambam in Mor Nebuchadnezzar discusses the mitzvah of the Dalet Minim. And the Dalet Minim are used only during the 7 days of Sukkot. And the Rambam, in explaining the Dalet Minim, he says that it's to give us a sense of joy of entering Eretz Yisrael, because these are mitzvos, these are symbols that rule, that are products of Eretz Yisrael. Now the question is, it seems odd. The 7 days of Sukkot are days that commemorate the Jews traversing the Midbar before they entered Eretz Yisrael. And the Dalet Minim, that's a celebration of Eretz Yisrael, the Dalet Minim. But I think the answer is, if you take a look at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Abraham gets the tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lech Lecha, Me'atzecha, Me'molatecha, Me'beis Avicha, El Haaretz Asher Arecha. And he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he traverses the land, and immediately, by Yehira of Forest, there's a famine in the land. And Abraham has to go down to Egypt. And as a result of going down to he leaves Eretz Yisrael. It seems odd. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him this test? It's one of the Asar Nishonos. That as soon as he enters Eretz Yisrael, shortly after entering Eretz Yisrael, he has to go immediately to Chutz Laaretz, immediately to Egypt. If there had to be a Rav Baaretz, why couldn't the Tzivui Tavram have come after the Rav was over? So we could say that was one of the Asar Nishonos. But each of the Asar Nishonos had a purpose. the Ramban says the purpose of Aseres Nishonos is lahotzi mehakoach alapoach, to take it from the state of the potential into the state of the actual. What does that mean, to take it from the state of the potential to the state of the actual? My father understood that to mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Avram would pass that Aseres Nishonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. But Avram, because he didn't know his own ability, was limited. So Avram had to be aware of his own potential. I think there's another possible chat, an additional possible chat. And that is that the purpose of the Avos was to serve as an example for future generations. My father would all say, he adopted Laman Asher Yitzaveh as Bona as Beis Olachra, that Avram commands his children after him. Simple explanation of Laman Asher Yitzaveh as Bona as Beis Olachra is that he commands his house and his children as descendants how to act after he dies. My father offered an additional explanation, and that explanation was Akhara, by example. There are Rebbeim, there are teachers that teach by word of mouth. There are teachers that teach by example. Avram's Koach was not just what he said. Yes, Avram went from place to place and would tell everybody about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he was a great teacher and the Av of Klal Yisrael because he taught by example, by Akhar. So, it's obvious. There's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to learn, the future generations to learn from Avraham Avinu by giving him this Nisayon of having him to go to Eretz Yisrael and immediately having to leave to Eretz Mitzrayim. I think that part of it is, there are other reasons also, but part of it is to teach us that the Jews' footballers need to have a relationship with Eretz Israel as well. In other words, Avram couldn't formulate a relationship with Eretz Israel until he came to Eretz Israel. But it's almost as if he came to Eretz Israel in order to go to Mitzrayim, in order to emphasize that it's not enough to have a relationship with Eretz Israel when you're in Eretz Israel. We have to have a relationship with Eretz Israel when we're in Chutz La'aretz as well. And just as a side comment, my father, and I would say together with the Lubavitch Terebi, were Mosa Nefesh. They were Jews that lived in Chutz La'aretz. But when it came to keeping the territories that were captured in Eretz Israel, that was part of the heritage that we received from the Avos, they were Mosa Nefesh. Personally, it wasn't Nogea to them. But it was Nogea to them for two reasons. First of all, it was Nogea to them because of the safety of the Jewish people. That was the primary reason. But also, everything else being equal, how could we give up the heritage that was given to our ancestors? Even my father lived in Chutz La'aretz, but he knew the lesson about Rome going down to Egypt. It was a lesson of that the Jews of Chutz La'aretz have a relationship and a responsibility for Israel as well. Oh. And I want to mention, at one point, I remember my father, mamish, physically became sick because of the giving back of the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael in the Six-Day War. Returned to Klal Yisrael in the Six-Day War. Because it was so much Nogeya to his soul. And it's interesting that the Zohar, in discussing the three regalim, suggests that Abraham is identified with Pesach. And we can understand that, because Abraham was the first one. And Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim, is Goy Mikarev Goy. Yitzchak is identified with Shavuos. Yitzchak, who is tied to the altar, that's the Na'aseh and Ishma of the Jewish people on Shavuos. Yaakov is identified with Sukkos. Medrash says Yaakov came to Sukkos, called Clay Sukkos. But what's the idea behind it? I think that Yaakov was the Jew both, and I'll explain myself, was the Av of the Jews both of Eretz Yisrael and of Kutz Laretz. Matter of fact, we could suggest that the two Imos that Yaakov was married to, Rachel and Leah, Rachel is the mother of the Jews of Kutz Laretz. She died shortly after coming into Eretz Yisrael. The Jews going to Kutz Laretz, as Rashi points out, as they're being led by the Buzar Adon, they stop off at Kever Rachel, and the Mishpalatel, and figuratively, Rachel cries for her children who are going to Kutz Laretz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers her, Yesachar lefulasei. You have, there is far for your shovel bonim with bulam. She is the one who speaks out on behalf of the Jews of Kutz Laretz. And Leah is the mother of the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. She's buried in the Moreh Makpelah, in the family plot, not on the road. Yaakov, who's the husband of both of them, he represents both. He's the father of both, the Jews of Eretz Yisrael and the Jews of Kutz Laretz. And it's very interesting that Yaakov, before he goes down to Egypt, before he goes down to Mitzrayim, he gives Vachem to the God of his father Yitzchak. And all the Parshim are discussing why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu there identified as the father, as the God of Yitzchak. And the Sforna says, because Yitzchak also thought about leaving Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Gor Baretz, Shkon Baretz, stay in Eretz Yisrael. So he needed to get permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who told Yitzchak, his father, not to leave Eretz Yisrael, permission to leave Eretz Yisrael. That's a little strange. Yitzchak Yaakov, this was not the first time he left Eretz Yisrael. V'yetzi Yaakov me'asheva v'yelech harana. He left Eretz Yisrael beforehand. We don't see that he asked permission. There is some Mepharshim that say in Beis Kel he got permission. But he left with the intention of going. He didn't ask questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that he'll be with him. So how is it that only over here Yaakov felt compelled to ask for permission to leave to leave Eretz Yisrael? And it's very interesting if you take a look at the Gemara Gittin, that base of an Aleph, the Gemara discusses whether certain cities on the border were part of Eretz Yisrael or part of Kutz Laretz. And Tosus brings riots from the fact that Avram and Yitzchak were in certain places, that was Eretz Yisrael. And Yitzchak, we understand, because Yitzchak had a tzivui, he had a command that he couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. He says, Mistama, Avram and Yitzchak would not leave Eretz Yisrael. So how is it that, but Avram certainly left. Avram went down to Egypt. Avram went down to the Mitzrayim. How could Tosfos say that Mistama, there's an assumption that Avram and Yitzchak would not have left Eretz Yisrael? The backside that Avram did leave Eretz Yisrael. In general, we know there is a whole discussion of the Avos. The Avos learning, the Avos observing the Mitzvot HaTorah. And Rabban asks, how was Yaakov able to marry two sisters? And he answers, because of Eretz Yisrael. They observed it only in Eretz Yisrael. Well, they felt compelled to observe it only in Eretz Yisrael. I want to suggest a different approach. Reb Chaim, in answering, there is a stira, contradiction, between the Rambam and the Gemara Nedarim. Gemara says that if somebody takes a neder not to get hanah from Zerah Avram, from the seed of Avram, from the descendants of Avram, see, he's mutter in the Yishmaelim, he's the mutter to get hanah from the descendants of Yishmael. Why? Keeping Yitzchak in Torah Lepazara, from Yitzchak. Who will your descendants be? Then the Gemara says, Gemara asks Akasha, and what about Gemara says, what about Zerah Esav? What about the descendants of Esav? So Gemara says, keeping Yitzchak below Kol Yitzchak. Not all of Yitzchak will be the descendants of Avram. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, in discussing how Yaakov was chosen, he mentions Yishmael was excluded, and he mentions the pasuk Kivi Yitzchak Yitzchara L'Chazara, from Yitzchak will be your descendants. And in discussing why Esav was excluded, he mentions the pasuk V'yitain L'Chav Yerchus Avram. The bracha that Yitzchak gave Yaakov, and you shall get the blessing of Avram. And the question is, certainly that pasuk is more explicit, but why is it that the Gemara gives the pasuk give Yitzchak lo kol Yitzchak, and the Rambam gives the pasuk v'yitein l'cha birchas Avram? And Reb Chaim said that there is a difference between Yitzchak and Yishmael on one hand, and Yaakov and Esav on the other hand. Yitzchak and Yishmael was excluded from birth to be the successor to Avraham Avinu. Yaakov and Esav, they had equal opportunity, but only one of them could be the successor to Avraham Avinu. So the Yitzchak, the local Yitzchak, that only tells me that one of Yitzchak's sons will be the successor. But it doesn't tell me which one. Esav also had the opportunity to be the successor of Abraham and Yitzchak. And that's probably why Esav had Kedushas Yisrael according to the Gemara in Kedushin. But ultimately Yaakov was chosen. When was Yaakov chosen? Yitin Lefaz Birkas Abraham. But at that point, he was only chosen. It could be compared. You know, my uncle discusses it, the Igros HaGrid, to David HaMelech. He had a Halosh HaMelech. But until Saul was killed, he didn't have Malchus. He didn't reign. He was appointed at that point, but he did not yet assume the position of being an Av of Klal Yisrael. When did he become an Av of Klal Yisrael? Only after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the name Avram, Av Hamon, gave him the name of Yaakov. Rashi explains Kisarisa that you struggled in Elohim with Malachim and with people. Batukal, you were successful because Yaakov had his struggle with the Malachim Shalesa, with the Sar Shalesa. But Targum Unkelus explains it differently. Targum Unkelus says, Kisarisa, you are a Tsar, you became an officer. You assumed the position of authority. What was the position of authority that Yaakov assumed? Yaakov assumed the position of authority of being a Nav Klavus. Abraham, Yaakov could not leave. Yaakov could not leave Eretz Yisrael once he became an Av of Klal Yisrael. The Avos were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kulam. But until they became Avos, Yitzchak was born an Av of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov became an Av of Klal Yisrael. That's why Yitzchak doesn't have a name change. Because a name change is indicative of one of two things. A name change is indicative either of a new identity or an aliyah l'gdula. Yaakov, even though he gets the name Yisrael, which represents his being a tsar, Kisarisa and Malachim and Manshaya, you became a tsar before God and with people. You became an officer, Targumukta says. Even though he became a tsar, an officer, but he still maintained the name Yaakov. Why? Because there was no change of identity. It was just an aliyah l'gdula. Like Yosef, when he was appointed Mishnah l'Melech, he gets the name Sofnas Paneah. He doesn't lose the name Yosef. So too, Abram, when he had his name changed, he became both an Av of Klal Yisrael and a change of identity. That's why Kol HaTorei LaAvram Avram over Ba'aseh, the Gemara says. When Tosfos says that the son of Avram would not have left Eretz Yisrael, and he brings Rayas, we can bring Rayas from that as to what was considered Eretz Yisrael. That means what? Once he became an Av Klal Yisrael, once he got the name of Avram, Av Hamon Goyim Isvaticha, and Yaakov also, when he married two sisters, he was not yet an Av Klal Yisrael. He was destined to be an Av Klal Yisrael, but he didn't assume that position yet, that role as an Av Klal Yisrael. And I think that's why the Sforna says, here he had to ask when he went down to Mitzrayim. When Vayetze Yaakov Mir Sheva Vayela Harana, he was not yet an Av of Klal Yisrael. So Yaakov and Sukkot is compared to Yaakov. is the holiday of Yaakov. Yaakov is both the father of Eretz Yisrael, the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, and the father of the Jews of Chutzlaret as well. Now, as we mentioned, so Shmini Atzeres and Sukkot are both the holidays of Yaakov Avinu. And Shmini Atzeres is the holiday of Eretz Yisrael as well. But, and I think that's one reason why we lay on Simchas Torah, which is Shmini Atzeres, the Zos HaBracha in the first parak in Yom Shua. Because that represents the Jewish people, certainly where Yeshua, who had the mission of taking the Jews to Eretz Yisrael, he assumes leadership of the Jewish people. And it's a continuation, it also represents a continuation of the Masorah. The Gemara in Megillah, Baba Basra, Menachos, they mention that Yochid, that the last day Pesukim of the Torah, Yochid Koryosam. There are many Pesukim in the Rishonim. The Mordechai brings down a Pshat, and that seems to be the popularly accepted Pshat. The Yochid Koryosam means that we give that Aliyah to the Miruha Shabeda, the special person. In those days it meant the Talmud Chacham. Today it means the richest Jews, but biggest owner. Anyway, so but what the question is, what's the significance of these last day Pesukim? So the machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Reb Shimon, whether these psukim were written by Yehoshua, the last day psukim, Eshe Moshe Kayem, is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu is alive because of Ayodas Moshe? So there's a Shitas Tanayim, and there are a few Rishonim that seem to ask in that way. And Ezra, that the last day psukim were written by Yehoshua. And Reb Shimon Shita is no. Moshe b'dema kasta. Moshe wrote it to Dema, without going to the discussion what the Dema means. And because of that, Yochid Koreosam, the Miyuchad Shaveita, reads it. Why should we have the Miyuchad Shaveita read these psukim? But the answer is, these psukim represent the Masorah, the giving over of the leadership from Moshe to Yehoshua. That is the perpetuation of Torah. That is the Masorah. Shmini Atzeres is the holiday of Eretz Yisrael, but it's also the holiday of the Masorah. And there's a very interesting shot brought down the Lukutei Torah, certainly not Pashat Shat, but the idea is a very good idea. Lukutei Torah discusses why did the Meraglim, who were Rosh Bnei Yisrael Hema, they were leaders of Klal Yisrael, and they came back and they gave a report and a detrimental report about Eretz Yisrael and led a revolt against Moshe, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it said, very interesting shot, it said, in the Midbar, the Jewish people felt, the Moroccan felt, they got mun every day. The Nisim were Nisim Gluyim. It wasn't through Derech HaTeva. Their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was obvious. They wanted that closeness to God. In Eretz Yisrael, once they come into their permanent situation, those nisim, Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives sustenance, but it will be through the curtain of nature. It will be hidden. There is a certain test. When you go from one environment to the other, the test, you're adapted to a certain environment. You're committed to Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, at Mount Torah, Klal Yisrael said, Ma'asav Nishma, they were on a level higher than Malachim. And 40 days later, they stand in front of an angel, and they say, Eilu Elohecha Yisrael, the Meraglim, as I mentioned, Rashi B'nai Yisrael Hema, and they go away for 40 days, and then they lead a revolt. How do we understand it?
The answer is the situation changed.
They were in a different environment. There was one environment when Moshe Rabbeinu was there.
There was another environment, an altogether different environment, when Moshe Rabbeinu was there.
When Moshe Rabbeinu was there, they were able to feel the Shekhinah.
And that made all the difference. Why?
Because they were committed, Ma'asav Nishma, but they were committed within a given situation, within a given milieu. But when the situation changed, the commitment crumbled.
I think about my father. My father, as I mentioned last night, we had a small gathering of Talmidim here in Chicago. My father was the perpetuation, the continuation of the Masoret Brisk. It's not only secondhand that he was connected. When he mentioned the Rapayim, it wasn't the Rapayim from the Sefer. And I remember, I mentioned last night, I was standing there when my father, sitting in the Beis Medrash, a boy went over. He said, he went over that certain people say, certain Hashkafa thought in the name of Chaim. And that boy, somewhat I think, took some liberties to say he's sure that Reb Chaim didn't say it. And my father said to him, not only Reb Chaim said it, but I'll tell you the exact words he said. Now my father never saw Reb Chaim. He died shortly before, he was born shortly before Reb Chaim died. That's the difference between the Masorah of Brisk and a lot of other Masorahs. I'm not saying every Masorah. A lot of the Masorahs, you're connected to your Rebbe. You see your Rebbe every day of your life, even after he's passed away. But you don't have that same connection to his Rebbe and his Rebbe's Rebbe. My father contained in him my grandfather of Moshe. He contained in him the personality traits of Reb Chaim, as well as the learning derech of Reb Chaim, whether it was in Halacha and Hashkafa. When he was 13, my grandfather went to Eretz Yisrael, from Europe, at the age of 12, when my father was 12 years old. And at that time, Rav Huttner, who at that time was 22 years old, was engaged to learn with my father for a year. And they learned all of Masechus Bava Kama together. And then he told my father to make up his own bar mitzvah drasha. My grandfather was in America already. And my father said at Bar Halacha his own fish. Rav Kuttner told my brother later on, my father didn't know this, that the Kiddush was so profound that he went from person to person in the shul in Warsaw to tell him, "Das ist sein eigene," that's his own. Because people would never believe that a 12-year-old child could say such a Kiddush Torah. And then before my father went to America, he went to visit his uncle in Brisk, and he told him over his Kiddush Torah. And Balbal said, the Zaynath Bezaktas. This was a share that Reb Chaim gave in Palashin. And it was later included in the Kedusha Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi when it was published later on. And when my father came to America, he told it over to my grandfather. And my grandfather gave him the exact same response. That's what Reb Chaim said. This was at the age of 12, at 13. And when it came to Hashtafa, I was told that at a bar mitzvah of my cousin, Rav Yitzchak Shurin, my father spoke, Rav Yitzchak's grandfather, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, was there. I was told that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said that he likes listening to the way my father explains the Maamarei Chazal, because that's the way that Reb Chaim explained the Maamarei Chazal. And when it came to Chesed, my father contained in him Reb Chaim also. If people suffered from problems, I'm not going to go into detail, but my father sacrificed himself trying to help people who had problems, because he contained it himself. My father used to say, "Ha'ada makes a sada. The tree has the concentric circles of the generations. A person has to have the concentric circles of generations. It's not just connected to former generations. Former generations has to be part of you." And my father gave that over to his Talmidim as well. This connection. He didn't just teach Reb Chaim from the Sefer. Now, when one goes from one environment to another, as I mentioned before, so you face a new situation. You face a new situation. And a new situation represents new tests. And miraculously, we're not ready for that. I want to talk about my father as a Marvitz Torah. But my father taught Torah, and as I said before, he didn't just teach with Shiurim. He taught by his example, by the type of person he was. He was Reb Chaim in America. It was easy, much easier, to give over Torah, both through learning and through example, in Europe, the European society. But in those days in America, it was much more difficult. Now it's true. My grandfather came from Europe and taught and had Talmidim. My uncle came, and he certainly spread the Mesorah of Bris far and wide. Brilliant in Shiurim. But my grandfather and my uncle, they became Dolim in Europe. They taught Torah, they taught Shiurim, but they couldn't teach by example how to be a Bubba of Israel in America. The one who taught how the Mesorah of Bris can continue in America was my father. He taught by example. He became a Bubba in America. And when he taught, it wasn't just the Shiurim, but as I mentioned, he taught with his very being. There are fellas that never got into the Shiurim, that considered themselves Talmidim of my father. Why? Because they learned from his example. Someone from the Chafetz Chaim's family told me that the shamish, that the Chafetz Chaim used to stand up to the shamish of Reb Chaim when he would walk in. Question is, you had Reb Chaim was the greatest teacher, besides being the greatest gadol of his day, was the greatest teacher of his day. His talmidim were all the gadol of Israel in his own time. And who did the Chafetz Chaim stand up for? how the signs still stood up for the Shamash. I thought about it, and I thought the answer was the Talmidim gave over the Torah, the Shiurim that Rav Chaim taught. Shamash, perhaps more so than even the Talmidim, could give over what type of person Chaim was. On the art side, we have to dedicate ourselves. Not only to give over the Torah of my father's Atzal, which is the Torah of Rav Chaim and the Torah of the Beis Halevi, because Torah is not the exact same words, it's the Derech. But we have to give over the type of person he is. And the only way we can do that is by following my father's example. Just as he made Rav Chaim, his father, Moshe, part of him, and Rav Chaim and the Beis Halevi part of him, we have to make him a part of us. And that will be the biggest return that we can do.
We'd like to thank Baruch Kalman for arranging everything, as always, being Moshe Nefesh for his Rebbe Bar. That's how I thank Rav Chaim and Rav Moshe for giving Shira.